Spirit, God. We love you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So we're there in 1 Samuel chapter number 30. And if you would, look back at verse number 1, 1 Samuel 30, verse number 1, the Bible says, it says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag," notice, "and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire." And so as we begin 1 Samuel 30, if you know the story, you know, David and his men were off. They were going to join the Philistines in battle against the nation of Israel. But King Achish, the king of the Philistines, he decides to send David back. And David comes home to his hometown, to his city, to where his family is. And notice, he finds it smitten. He finds it burned with fire. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, "And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way." Verse 3. "So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives." And so it's a terrible time for David and his men. As they go to follow David, these men, they come home and everything's gone. Their home has been burned with fire. Their possessions have been taken. Their houses are destroyed. Not only that, but these people have lost their family. These people, they lost their children. Their wives were taken captives. And we see David in a bad situation. And we see David as the leader leading this group. And he comes home. And because of this event, because the Amalekites, because they invaded the land, because they ruined the city, because they burned it with fire, kidnapped everyone, we see David as a leader in different situations. And we see in David a leader who handles situations in a certain way. Because of this event, many things happen. Many things happen to unfold in this chapter. And this chapter is pretty jam-packed with events back and forth. But we can learn from David what a good leader does. We can learn from David what a leader who has the characteristics of a mature person does in these situations. And the title of my sermon tonight is Marks of Maturity. Marks of maturity. And in this passage, we can look at David and we can see characteristics of a mature person who knows how to handle certain situations. Keep your place in 1 Samuel 30, but go to Ephesians chapter number 4, Ephesians 4. See, when you and I, when we got saved, we became children of God. We were babes in Christ. And as babes, the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. See, God's desire for us as Christians is to not remain children. It's to not remain babies. His desire is for us to grow. The Bible says that we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever. Amen. We are commanded by God over and over to grow as Christians, to mature as Christians. You're in Ephesians 4, and we see the purpose of church. In Ephesians 4, this is why we have church. This is why we're all here tonight. In verse number 11, the Bible says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Notice, what's the purpose of us having a pastor? What's the purpose of us getting preached at? It says, notice, verse 12, "for the perfecting of the saints." What does that mean? It means to make you complete. It makes to make you mature, to make you whole. It says, "for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Notice, "till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God," notice, "unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." You say, what's the point of me being a part of Verity Baptist Church? It's to make you, to make me, to help us all become that perfect man, that we be no more children. Look at verse 14. It says that we henceforth be what? No more children. What is that? That's somebody who's immature, not mature in the faith. It says that we be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Notice verse 15, it says, "but speaking the truth in love may" what? "May grow up." You see, God's desire is for us to grow. If God's desire is for us to not be children. And look, all of us, we were all babes in Christ at one point, and there's nothing wrong with a babe in Christ. All of us have been babes in Christ, but when we got saved, God wants us to mature. And the Bible says that we ought to put away childish things and grow up into the perfect man that God wants us to be. You're in Ephesians 4. Keep your place there, because we're going to be going back to that area. But go back to 1 Samuel 30. And in this chapter in 1 Samuel, we see some marks of maturity in David. You say, well, what's a mark? A mark is a sign, an indication, a distinguishing trait or quality. It's something you can look at someone and say, you know, this person is mature. And what does it mean to be mature? It means to be fully developed. And so the Bible says that, you know, we could look at someone, we could see traits and characteristics that would define someone as a mature person. The same way when we come to church, you know, we watch children and kids, they'll go in that playroom and we see the indication of a child, right? They're going to run around. They're going to make a mess. They're going to destroy things. They're going to play. They're going to be foolish. They're going to say things, do things, break things. Why? Because they're children. At the same time, if you were to look at an adult who's 30, 40, 50, running around the playroom, throwing things, you know, throwing a tantrum on the floor, you think this person is immature. You'd see marks, indications that this is an immature person. At the same time, in this chapter, we see signs, marks, things that we can look at that would point to someone who is spiritually mature. And so there's four marks that we can apply to ourselves. And look, all of us are applying these things. You know, none of us have attained. You know, we're always trying to reach for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. None of us have reached there. Look, we're always learning. We're always growing. None of us can say, hey, I have arrived. You know, if Paul hasn't arrived, you haven't arrived. None of us have arrived. We all have more growing. We all have more learning to do. And we should always be striving to grow as Christians. And in this chapter, we see four traits, four marks that we can apply in our own lives. 1 Samuel 30, look at verse number 1 again. The Bible says, and it came to pass when David and his men were coming to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either small or great, but carried them away and went on their way. Verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Verse 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Notice verse 5, it says, and David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And so you get the story that everyone comes back to their city, their hometown, and everyone's house is destroyed. Everyone's goods are taken. Everyone's family has been kidnapped. And here's the thing. These men, notice what they do in verse number six. It says, and David was greatly distressed. Notice, for the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people is grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. You see, these people, these men, because they suffered loss. Now they come to David, the man who took these men who at one point they were just outcasts. David was the one that turned these men into the mighty men. But no, these men, because they suffered loss, because things got difficult, they go to David and now they want to kill David. You see, a mark of a mature Christian is that a mature Christian will not blame others when things get difficult. See, at the same time, these men, yes, they lost their house. Yes, they lost their goods. They lost their wives. But you know what? David lost the exact same thing. He also suffered loss. And look, in the Christian life, you ought to expect to suffer some loss. The Christian life is not always going to be easy. You will suffer loss. People will do you wrong. People will talk bad about you, lie about you, treat you bad, treat you wrong. In the Christian life, you may get sick. You may suffer you may lose your job. You may suffer family problems. You know, your own family may walk out on you. You will suffer loss in the Christian life, but an immature person will look to blame somebody else. They'll point the blame at other people, but a mature person, a mature Christian, they'll take the loss. They'll suffer the wrong. They won't go around saying, hey, it's your fault that you did this. It's your fault. And these men, what are they telling David? They're saying, David, this is your fault. Because I'm following you, David, things are difficult. And I suffered loss because of it. And now we're going to go after you. But look, when you follow David, when you follow the Lord, you also will suffer loss. But it's how you deal with the loss that will show what kind of a person you are. See, the mark of your maturity isn't whether or not you lost something. No, it's how you deal with the loss that you've suffered or with the wrong that somebody does you. See, some people will do you wrong in Christian life, but it's how you handle it that will show us who you are. Keep your place here, but go to 2 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. In the Christian life, we will suffer loss. In the Christian life, people will do us wrong. In the Christian life, people will defraud us. They'll forsake us. They'll leave us. And look, you may lose your family the way these people lost their family. If you decided to live for God, it may be that your family walks out on you, that people talk bad about you. But notice what a mature Christian does here, the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4. Look at verse number 16. It says, and my first answer, notice, no man stood with me. But notice what all these men did, but all men forsook me. See, there was a point in the life of the Apostle Paul where it says that all men forsook Paul. And look, were these people right for forsaking him? Of course not. These people were wrong. They should have stuck with Paul. They should have been there for him. But notice the reaction. Notice the response of a mature Christian. It says here, it says, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Paul, a man who could have been like, God, look what they did. You know, Paul was probably right. Look what they did. They forsook him. They fled. They did him wrong. He suffered loss. But, you know, Paul wasn't saying, hey, look what they did. God, strike him down. You know, avenge me right now, Lord. No, he said, you know what? God, forgive them. Because look, in your life and in my life, we will suffer loss. There will come times in our lives where people defraud us. People may forsake us. We may lose family. We may go through hard times and hard trials. But at the end of the day, it's up to us and how we react. And look, you can't control what other people do. Paul can't control that these men forsook him. David can't control that the people were kidnapped. No, but at the end of the day, each one of us will give account of the things that we do. And look, if you're struggling, if you're going through hard times, don't look to put the blame on other people. That just shows that you're not trusting in the Lord. It shows that you're trying to avenge yourself. It shows a little bit of immaturity. And look, all of us, we're all growing. We're all learning. When you think about, like, the world, you know, teenagers today have a bad reputation that they get rebellious, that they get mad at their parents. Why? Because when things don't go their way, they throw a little hissy fit, right? They get mad at mom and dad because they don't have their things. And it shows that it needs a little bit more of maturity in their life. You're there in 2 Timothy. Go to Romans 14. Romans chapter number 14. Look, when things get difficult in life, and they will get difficult in life, you ought to develop the habit of not blaming others. And look, you may be right that, you know, Dave, it could have been David's fault that these people lost their family. I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying they could be right. It could have been that David's the reason why. But at the end of the day, that's not going to change the situation. And at the end of the day, you're not accountable for what David does. At the end of the day, I'm only accountable for what I do, and you're accountable for what you do. Romans 14, look at verse number 10. The Bible says, in verse 10, it says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? You know, how could this person do this to me? How could David do this to me? He led me in the wrong way. He made me suffer loss. It says, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Notice, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Notice verse 12, it says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. See, at the end of the day, if somebody does you wrong, they're going to give account to God. And the way you handle situations, you're going to give account to God for the things that you do, whether or not it was right or wrong. It could have been David's fault. It could have not been. But at the end of the day, we're not supposed to avenge ourselves. You know, at the end of the day, you will give account for the things that you do. And maybe you've been done wrong. But when you start blaming other people, taking things into your hands, now you're into sin. And so in the end of the day, look, you blaming other people is not going to change circumstances. At the end of the day, the city's burned. At the end of the day, the people have been kidnapped. At the end of the day, we're all in this mess. So don't get to the place where you start blaming other people. And look, this can happen at your work. You know, at your work, when things get difficult with the boss, things get hard at work, it's easy to go home and complain about the boss and say, well, the boss is to this, the boss is to that. But at the same time, he's the same boss that gave you that job. But here's the thing. We have a habit of blaming people at home. You know, when things are difficult at home, we have a habit of blaming each other. Oh, my wife this, or my husband that. People today, they blame their kids for the problems. And don't blame your kids for problems. But people want to blame other people for all the things that are going wrong. And look, this happens in church all the time. You're there in, go to Hebrews 13, if you go to Hebrews chapter number 13. And look, in church, this happens all the time. People want to play the blame game. People get upset when they suffer loss, when things get difficult for them. And look, at this church, we believe, and our pastor believes and preaches the entire counsel of God. And obviously, the Bible teaches that you should be in church whenever the doors are open. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The Bible teaches that, and we preach that. And when you see somebody who gets saved, and they begin to come to church 3 times a week, but after a while, it becomes difficult. After a while, they see some of that loss. After a while, all of a sudden, their family turns on them, or it gets difficult for them, or they get bored of it. It's a little difficult. And what they do is they often blame the preacher or the pastor for the difficulty. And we also preach on things like soul winning. We believe we should go soul winning 3 times a week. Or no, not 3 times a week. We should go soul winning whenever we can. It says, you know, going to all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. Right? Daily in the house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. We believe you should go soul winning. But when people begin to go soul winning, all of a sudden now my Saturdays are taken away. All of a sudden now I don't have time to do what I want to do in my life. All of a sudden now it turns out that the pastor or the preacher or my brother in Christ, now they're the problem. Now they're the person to blame. When all we're doing is just preaching what the Bible says. And the Bible teaches, hey, Your wives should be at home, and the husband should be out working. But when that gets too difficult, people tend to look at someone to blame, and sometimes they'll even blame the preacher. Look at Hebrews 13, like verse number 17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you. Notice in verse 17, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, notice, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. See, at the end of the day, you know, the pastor of any church will give account for the things that they do. And it says that they may do it with joy, not with grief. Why does it say not with grief? Because sometimes when you try to help people, when you try to encourage people, when you try to change people's lives, sometimes it gets difficult for them. They begin to suffer loss, and they get a little upset with the preacher. But look, we're trying to profit you. The word of God is here to profit you. And yes, the Christian life, you will suffer loss. It will get difficult. But at the end of the day, you ought not to blame other people for the problems. At the end of the day, the house is burned. The city's taken apart. The spoils are gone. You've lost your family. At the end of the day, blaming people makes no difference. We're in the situation that we're in. So we ought not to be blaming one another. Go back to 1 Samuel 30. So number one, I said a mature Christian will not blame others when things get difficult. And look, you may be right. The people might have been right. It could have been David's fault. But at the end of the day, that's not going to bring anyone home. But number two, not only will a mature Christian not blame other people, but number two, look at verse number six. The Bible says, again in verse six, it says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Notice what it says in verse six. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. It says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. See, not only will a mature Christian not blame others when things get difficult, but a mature Christian will encourage himself in the Lord. A mature Christian will encourage himself in the Lord. Let's keep reading. Verse number 7, the Bible says, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord. You see, a mature person, when things get difficult for a mature person, they're going to be encouraging themselves in the Lord. What does that mean? To encourage yourselves, it means that you're just going to motivate yourself. And look, it's easy to do things when things are going well. It's easy to read 9 chapters a day when your name is going to get written on a plaque. It's easy to go soul winning when the sun is up. It's easy to be a Christian when your family loves you, when you have good health, when you have your job, when people aren't talking bad about you. It's easy to do those things. But look, but when the trials come, when the hard times come, a mature Christian will learn to encourage himself in the Lord. See, a mature Christian will motivate himself, will encourage himself to read their Bible when they don't want to read their Bible. A mature Christian will encourage himself to pray to God when you don't feel like praying to God. And what does David do as the people want to kill him, as he encourages himself in the Lord? What does he do? He goes to God in prayer. He inquires at the Lord. And see, look, a mature Christian doesn't need somebody holding your hand and making you do these things. A mature Christian will learn to motivate themselves, to encourage themselves, to do what God has called them to do because it's the right thing to do. And look, we ought not to be carried about with every wind of doctrine. And it says wind because, look, in the Christian life, in life in general, there's seasons of life. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're sad. Sometimes the sun is shining, sometimes it's thundering. Sometimes it's stable, sometimes there's earthquakes in life. Look, but at the end of the day, whether it rain or shine, encourage yourself in the Lord. Read your Bible. Go soul winning. Be in church. Do what you got to do to encourage and motivate yourself to do what God wants you to do. Keep your place. Go back to 2 Timothy. If you would, 2 Timothy. See, an immature person. See, my kids are just kids. And my kids, I still tell them to get dressed. We still give them their food. We still make them come to church. We still make them come soul winning with us. And look, that's expected because they're kids. But when you're an adult, you know, you should just encourage yourself to do what's right in the Lord, to motivate yourself, to read your Bible, to pray, to do what God has called you to do. 2 Timothy 3, look at verse number 10. 2 Timothy 3:10. Here we have Paul giving a charge to Timothy. It says, but thou, in verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Notice verse 11, it says, persecutions, afflictions. You say, what can I expect in the Christian life? Persecutions, afflictions. And look, in America, we have it pretty easy. You know, whatever persecutions we've gone through is nothing compared to what these people went through. But Paul is saying the Christian life, Timothy, is going to be a life of persecutions, of afflictions. Keep reading. It says, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. Notice, what persecutions, notice, I endured. It doesn't say I fainted. See, most people want to faint. They want to quit. When the persecution comes, it says, I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Look at verse 12. Yea, and all that will live God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Look at verse 14. It says, notice the command that Paul wants Timothy to do. He says, but, notice, continue. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You say, Brother Oliver, I don't feel like reading my Bible anymore. What should I do? I think you should just continue reading the Bible. I don't feel like praying anymore. It seems like it's not profiting me. It seems like it's difficult. What should I do? You should just continue. I feel like giving up in my house or in my marriage with my spouse. What should I do? You should continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Look, you ought to continue in the Christian life. Endure those trials and just keep going. And what should I do? You should encourage yourself. Motivate yourself to do what's right. Encourage yourself in the things of the Lord. You say, I feel like going to church 3 times a week is getting too hard for me. I feel like quitting. I feel like giving up. What should I do? You should continue in the things which thou hast learned. Look, the Bible is our guide, and we ought to continue these things. And look, seasons will come. Hard times will happen. But the best thing you can do is just to continue. And so when soul winning becomes a chore and it's not fun anymore, what should you do? You should just continue. When you're sick or you're going through hard times, things are difficult in your life, what should you do? Just continue down the things which thou hast learned. Look, we got to be willing to endure some things and just continue. And what does that mean? It means we're being faithful. And look, a mature person will continue the things which he's learned. A mature person will encourage himself in the Lord. And the longer you're in Christianity, I haven't been in it that long, but the longer you're in it, there's going to be seasons. But the difference is, will you continue in the things that you've learned? You're in 2 Timothy 3. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Just one chapter back, 2 Timothy 2. And look at verse number 3. It says, thou therefore, in verse 3, 2 Timothy 2, 3, it says, thou therefore endure hardness. Notice, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You say, the Christian life is getting difficult. It's getting too hard for me. What should I do? You should just endure. You should continue. You should motivate yourself, encourage yourself in the Lord to do what's right. You should still pray. You should still read your Bible. Go to church. Keep doing these things. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Notice, of Jesus Christ. See, a good soldier does what they're told, right? And our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, he's given us the commands, and we as good soldiers should just continue. Verse 4, it says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may, notice, please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. See, a mature person will do what's right regardless of the situation. Whether or not the city's burned down, whether or not you've just lost your house, your possessions, your family's been taken, a mature Christian will still go to the Lord in prayer. They'll still motivate themselves, encourage themselves to do what they're supposed to do in the Lord. And so when you get to those times where you feel like you've suffered loss, where maybe you've lost possessions, your health, your family, whatever it is, somebody's done you wrong, look, just continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. The best thing is to just keep going. In whatever area that you feel like quitting on the Christian life, just motivate yourself, encourage yourself. You see, a mature person will do these things because they're just going to do them. But an immature person, they need a spiritual vitamin every time. In order to go to soul winning, we got to pull some teeth and preach a sermon for you to go soul winning. In order for you to be faithful to church, we got to preach a good sermon so that you could be faithful to church. You still need all these vitamins. But look, the Christian life, there's going to be ups and downs. We all go through ups and downs. What should you do? Just continue. Just endure. Just be a mature Christian and encourage yourself, motivate yourself in the Lord. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter number 30, 1 Samuel 30. So number one, a mature Christian will not blame others when things are difficult. Number two, a mature Christian will encourage himself in the Lord. And look, these are marks of maturity. These are things that we can look at in other people. When we look at people blaming other people for their problems, just going out complaining all the time. And look, if you have a problem, you need to talk to someone, then you should talk to someone. But when you're just constantly complaining and bickering, that's just the mark of somebody who's just not really mature. Or when things get difficult in life and you start quitting, look, that's a mark that we need some strengthening. We need some maturity. And look, we all need growing. We all need maturity in certain areas. But number three, look at verse number 9. In 1 Samuel 3, verse 9, the Bible says, so David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And notice what happens in verse 11. Before they come to the Amalekites, notice verse 11 says, and they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water, and they gave him a cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. Notice verse 13. So here they come to this young man. They find him. He's an Egyptian. And so what do? They give him bread. They give him food, provision. They refresh him. And notice what David asked in verse 13. He says, "And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou? And whence art thou?" And he said, notice, "I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick." Here David comes across the Egyptian who's a servant to one of the men who just burned their house, one of the men who just kidnapped their family, one of the men who just ruined their city. But number three, a mature Christian, not only will a mature Christian not blame others, a mature Christian will encourage himself in the Lord, but number three, a mature Christian will know how to treat unbelievers. A mature Christian will know how to treat unbelievers. Notice what David does. David didn't come out with his sword drawn and just start chopping away at this guy, all in the flesh, just killing him. No, David, he was kind to him. He gave him food. He strengthened him. He gave him provision. And he asked him, "Hey, who art thou?" He said, "I am a servant. I'm an Egyptian, a servant to an Amalekite." Notice verse 14. It says in verse 14, "We made an invasion upon the south of the Kirathites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah and upon the south of Caleb." Notice, "And we burned Siglag with fire." And David said to him, "Canst thou bring me down to this company?" And he said, "Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company." In verse 16, he brings him down. You see, what's a mature Christian going to do? A mature Christian knows how to treat unbelievers. You see, you often hear stories of people constantly getting into fights, being rude to people who aren't saved, just to be rude. But look, this person, he was just a servant to an Amalekite. He was just a servant. Meaning what? Meaning, I don't think he was the one necessarily lighting the torch. He wasn't the one giving the commands. He was just doing what he was told. I don't think he really knew what was going on. He was just a servant. And look, there was a point in your life and in my life when you and I, we were just servants. And look, people who are out there, unbelievers, they don't know any better. They're just servants. They're just serving their master. They're servants to an Amalekite. They don't know what they're doing. And we need to have a little bit of grace like David had. A little bit of kindness, a little bit of gentleness. Not go out there, just be quick to chop him with the sword and kill him and be all in the flesh. Go to Romans 6, if you go to Romans chapter number 6. See, a mature Christian knows how to treat unbelievers. And this person, this young man, the Egyptian, I don't think he knew what he was doing. He was just serving his master, being told what to do. Not the one leading the charge. He wasn't the one saying, "Hey, take these people, kill them all." But in the same way, there was a point where you were just a servant, where you didn't know any better. Look at in Romans 6, look at verse 20. It says, notice, "For when ye were the servants of sin." It says, "For when ye were the servants of sin," notice, "ye were free from righteousness." You see, oftentimes we go out soul winning, we talk to people who aren't saved, and we say, "Don't you know any better? Don't you know that that's David's camp, that that's his family? Don't you know who David is?" And the truth is, no, they don't know who David is. And they don't need us to expect them to know, go out there with a sword and just start expecting them to know. Because there was a point in your life and in my life where we didn't know. Where we were just servants to sin, fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Just following orders of whatever our flesh wanted to do. And look, don't expect unbelievers to know what you know. And a mature Christian knows, hey, this guy doesn't know. He's just a servant. So we ought not to put that burden on unbelievers that where we expect them just to know. It's like, don't you know what the Bible says? Don't you know that it's salvation by grace through faith? Don't you know you're in heresy? Look, at one point, you were in heresy. At one point, I was in heresy. At one point, we were all in heresy. We all didn't know the truth right away. So we need to have grace and tact with people, with unbelievers. And Romans 6:20, again, it says, "For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, notice, now being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life." See, now you've been made free. And what did David do with this man, with this Egyptian, the servant, the Amalekite? He gave him food, he gave him provision, gave him water, he strengthened him, and then what? And then he let him go. He set him free. And isn't that what we're called to do? To go out and save those servants of sin who, like you, at one point didn't know what they were doing? Like, we expect sometimes, like, why don't you get it? Don't you know? No, they don't know. Don't you see? No, they don't see. Why? Because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. You can't expect a blind person to see. They need someone to be kind to them, to guide them, to help them set them free. Romans 6, look at verse number 17. It says in verse 17, but God be thanked, notice, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed that from the heart that form of doctrine, notice, which was delivered to you. It says ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, not which was crammed down your throat, not which was yelled at you, not which was shoved in your face, no, which was delivered unto you. And look, I like to get packages in my house. I like when the delivery guy comes. And when he comes, I expect him to be nice. You know, knock on the door gently, say, hey, Mr. Gonzalez, I have a nice package for you. I say, thank you, and I take it. You know, I don't expect them to come to my door, break the door down, take the package and throw it in my face. And, you know, it's just, that's not nice. That's not right. And that's not how you were given the gospel. And that's not how I was given the gospel. No, we were delivered the gospel. Somebody brought us the gift. And you know what? If they don't want it and say, you know what? That's not mine. That's okay. You know what? The next person might want it. It might have somebody else's name. And so don't be rude to people when you're out, when you're treating unbelievers. Look, they don't know. You didn't know. You know, we're all learning. We're all growing. And we can't expect unbelievers who even walk into this church, like, oh, she's wearing pants. At one point, you ladies wore pants. You know, don't look down on people because they don't know. Look, we're all learning. We're all growing. Not everyone knows what you know. Verse 18, it says, For being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Look, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Not that they may see what you believe about the pre-trib rapture or what you believe about whatever heresy they're into. No, that they may see your good works. And when we go to people, we deliver the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. You don't need to step on them. You know, we need to be gentle as I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Look, we are not to be rude to people. We should go out there and try to set these people free. Because, like, at one point, you were a bondman. At one point, I was in bondage. At one point, we were all in bondage. But, you know, somebody was kind and delivered the gospel to us. They weren't rude. They didn't throw it in our face. They didn't yell at us. And a mark of a mature Christian is that they will know how to treat unbelievers. A mark of immaturity is that when you're constantly out there getting into fights with people, yelling at people. And look, I get the phone calls. I get the calls, and I know this happens. But you know what? It's okay. Sometimes it happens. We all get in the flesh. But look, we ought to learn to be kind, tactful to people, to unbelievers as well. Go back to 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30. So number one, I said a mature Christian will not blame others when things get difficult, and things will get difficult. Number two, a mature Christian will encourage himself in the Lord. Number three, a mature Christian knows how to treat unbelievers. And number four, look at verse number 17, 1 Samuel 30, 17, the Bible says, and David smote them from the twilight, even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and herds, which they drave before those other cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. So now we see that David recovers everything. They win the battle. And notice what happens in verse 21. It says, and David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook, Bezor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. So now David comes back with the spoil. He comes back with the victory. And he comes across the 200 men that they were so faint that they just couldn't go with him. But you know what? They kept the spoil. They kept the goods. And notice what happens in verse 22. It says, then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial. Who are these people? These are the tares among the wheat. And notice the influence that these wicked men, these reprobates, these sons of Belial, these devils, notice the influence they want to have on the camp. It says, then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial of those that went with David and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Notice the influence that these wicked men, that these devils want to have on David. They're saying, David, don't give them of the spoil. David. They didn't do as much as we did, David. We're the ones that recover everything. We're the ones that did everything. Don't treat them the same way. You see, a mature Christian, number four, will show charity toward his brethren. A mature Christian will show charity toward his brethren. Look, it's true that David and his men, they're the ones that went to battle. They did more. They fought more. But you know what? David didn't go back saying, hey, look what I did, and you didn't do that much. He didn't go back to them saying, why didn't you do as much as we did? Putting people down, making them look at because somebody didn't do as much as they did. But look, an immature person will use their accomplishments, their spiritual accomplishments, to put other believers down, to look down on your brother in Christ. And you ought not to be the person that, because you've done more spiritually, that you start looking down on other people. You know, that is a demonic influence, as we see in the Bible, that we're looking down on our brother just because they did or they didn't do as much as we did, or because they do or they don't do these things, or we have this standard, they don't have this standard, so we're better than them. That's a demonic influence, according to this passage. And the keep reading verse 23, it says, then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us. Notice, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. And what's David saying? David's saying, you know what? The wicked men, they're saying, notice what we did. Look at what we did. We did all this. And David said, no. The Lord brought deliverance. No, the Lord is the reason we won this battle. And look, and if you've grown in your Christian life, you know, praise the Lord. But you know what? The Lord is the reason that you've grown in the Christian life. If God has blessed you, maybe financially, you know, God's the one that has given you those financial blessings. If God has blessed you, that you've been able to come to church, now you can stay at home, and your wife can stay at home, and you can go to work, just be a one-man show. Look, God's the reason you can do all these things. And look, if you've read the Bible cover to cover, praise the Lord, but don't look down on the person that's never read it. Or if you go soul winning, as much as a new believer, don't look down on them. Maybe they're not there yet. Maybe they haven't grown to that level yet. But look, an immature person will use their spiritual accomplishments to put other people down. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. See, a mature Christian will show charity toward his brethren. And look, we're all on different levels in our spiritual growth. And maybe you're up here. Don't look down on the guy that's down there, because you know what? You've been down there at one point. 1 Corinthians 13, look at verse number 1. It says, 1 Corinthians 13, 1, the Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. You say, I've read the Bible 20 times cover to cover. I have all these standards in my life. I can speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Look what it says, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You could have all the accomplishments. You could have all the standards. You could be in church 3 times a week. You could be soul winning faithfully. But when you're using those things to look down on your brother in Christ, you're nothing, the Bible says. You don't have any charity. Look at verse number 2. It says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not, notice, charity, I am nothing. See, it makes no difference whatever you've done spiritually, but when you use that to put other people down, to think you're better than your brother in Christ, it says that you're nothing. You're not having charity. It says, notice, and though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, notice, it profiteth me nothing. You say, what is charity? It's charity, verse 4, suffereth long, notice, and is kind. Charity, notice, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. See, it says charity is kind. See, a mature Christian is kind to their fellow believer, regardless of what they've done. Whether or not they have your standards, whether or not they go do whatever it is that you do, they're still kind to their fellow brother in Christ. It says, envieth not, vaunteth not itself. Doesn't go around bragging, hey, I only shop at this store. You know, why don't you shop there? You know, that's not right. Don't vaunt yourself. It says, notice, is not puffed up. Whatever God has blessed you with, praise the Lord for it. You know, God gave you those things. But when you start thinking, I'm better than everyone else because of all the things that I have, no, you're nothing, the Bible says. You don't have charity. And a mature Christian will learn to have charity toward his brethren. Go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. And so we're talking about marks of maturity, things that we can look at that would make someone a mature Christian or not. And look, we're all growing, we're all learning, Philippians 2, look at verse number 1, Philippians 2, 1. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, Philippians 2, 2, it says, fulfilling my joy, then notice that ye be like-minded, notice having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look, it says, let nothing be done through strife, notice what, or vain glory, of doing things for the pure sole reason so that you can lift yourself up in the church. And we see these people in the churches, like Diotrephes, for example, who loveth to have the preeminence among the brethren, who likes to be seen as the most spiritual, who likes to be seen, well, I have all the standards, look at me. I go soul winning this much, I read the Bible this much, I do all these things, lifting yourself up and putting other people down just because of your accomplishments. But look, we ought not to use our accomplishments to put other people down. We ought to be helping each other grow, not comparing each other. Go to 2 Corinthians 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10, it said, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. And you think of the story, you know, the wicked men, the sons of Belial, they go to David and said, hey, David, these men aren't as good as us. These men, they didn't go to the battle. They didn't do as much as we did, David, so they don't deserve as much, as well treated as you and I deserve. We're better than them. That's the influence that these people want to have in the camp. 2 Corinthians 10, look at verse number 12. It says, for we dare not make ourselves, 2 Corinthians 10, 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. See, some people just want to commend themselves. Well, I read the Bible this many times. Well, I go praying this many times. I do all these things. But notice, but they, measuring themselves, notice, by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Like, it's not wise. It's not right. It's not kind to use your accomplishments. Look, if you've grown in the Lord, praise the Lord. If God has blessed you, praise the Lord. But you know what? Don't use your accomplishments or your blessings to think that you're better than your brother in Christ. Look, God, they may be on a different level. They don't need us looking down on our... And we're talking about brothers in Christ. What they need is a helping hand. Maybe they need some encouragement. Maybe they need some prayer. They don't need us ruling over them, looking down on them, making sure that we have the preeminence among the brethren. And that's the example. This is what these people wanted David to do. So number 4, a mature Christian will show charity toward his brethren. And if you've grown, praise the Lord. Go back to 1 Samuel 30. So number 1, marks of maturity. Number 1, a mature Christian will not blame others when things get difficult. Number 2, a mature Christian will encourage himself in the Lord. Number 3, a mature Christian knows how to treat unbelievers. And number 4, a mature Christian shows charity toward his brethren. You're in 1 Samuel 30. Go to 2 Samuel 2, if you would. 2 Samuel 2. And look, this here is towards the end of David becoming just the leader of his little band. David is about to be the next king. You know, Saul's about to go off the scene, and he's about to be named the king. Look at 2 Samuel 2, look at verse 4. It says in verse 4, and the men of Judah came, notice, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. So it says there that there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And I wonder if God was now able to entrust David with an entire nation because he proved himself to be mature, to be a man who knows how to encourage himself, who knows that when things go bad, hey, I can't blame other people because I'm the leader. And a leader will just do what needs to be done. Who knows how to treat people, who has charity towards his brother. I wonder if that's why God says, you know what, God, David, now I'm going to anoint you to be king. And like, I wonder if in your life and in my life, God has more for you and God has more for me. But you know what? God might be saying that we're just not ready. That we haven't grown to the place where God can give us those things. That there's still some areas in our life where we need to mature a little bit in the Lord. And look, we're all growing. We're all learning. We all have maturity. None of us have attained. Don't think, oh, this person's attained. No, we're all learning and we're all growing. But the point is that we need to focus on ourselves and making sure that we are maturing in the Lord. We're growing so that when the time comes when God wants to give you a kingdom or me a kingdom, that we'll be ready for it. That we're not pushing away the blessings because you know what? Right now, we just can't take it. So I pray that you look at the example, and I just pray that the sermon was a blessing to you. Let's close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word, Lord God, and for everyone that's here. And I just pray that you help us all learn and grow, Lord God. And I thank you for the blessing that this church is. And for our pastor, God, I just pray that you be with our pastor as he's away and be with everyone tonight, the fellowship. And as we all head home, God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.